Could everyone please rise for the Right Honourable Lord Mayor Basil Zemphis?
Hello everyone, lovely to be here again. Now, can I formally declare the agenda briefing session open for the City of Perth at exactly 5 p.m. I respectfully acknowledge the traditional owners of the land upon which we meet, the Whadjuk Noongar people of Western Australia. I pay my respects to elders past, present and emerging. It is a privilege to be standing on Whadjuk Noongar country. CEO, can I ask you to recite the prayer?
Almighty God, under whose providence we hold responsibility for this city, grant us wisdom to understand its present needs, foresight to anticipate its future growth, and grace to serve our fellow citizens with integrity and selfless devotion. And to thee be all blessing and glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, everybody. Please be seated. And thank you for your attendance tonight at the agenda briefing session. Just go through the attendance. So in attendance today, the Lord Mayor, obviously, Deputy Lord Mayor, Councillor Di Bain, Councillor Clyde Bevan, Councillor Brent Fleeton, Councillor Liam Gobbett, Councillor Rebecca Gordon, Councillor Victor Coe, and Councillor Catherine Leeser. Also in attendance, the Chief Executive Officer, the Acting General Manager of Community Development, the General Manager of Corporate Services, General Manager Infrastructure and Operations, Acting General Manager of Planning and Economic Development, Project Director Strategic Finance, Acting Alliance Manager Executive Services, Acting Alliance Manager Governance, and Governance Officer. CEO, do we have any apologies tonight?
No, Lord Mayor.
Thank you. Item 3.2, leave of absence. I note there are no council members on an approved leave of absence. A reminder to elected members to please submit any applications for a leave of absence prior to the ordinary council meeting next week. You've done yours, Councillor Bain, haven't you? I think you have.
No, I thought so.
We have to move it at the meeting, do we? So here?
At the ordinary council meeting.
At the ordinary council meeting. Sorry? It'll be an apology then. But we all know that you're not going to be here, and thank you for notifying us in advance. Item 4, announcements by the Lord Mayor. Save my best work to next week, hey everybody. Item 5.1, public question time. That will be held at the ordinary council meeting next week. 5.2 is deputation. CEO, are there any deputations tonight?
Yes, Lord Mayor. We have two deputations from Ross Tapper, OAM, and David Smith from Targa West Proprietary Limited in relation to item 12.2, event sponsorship round 1, 2022, and Ma Knox and Mace Francis from Perth International Jazz Festival in relation to item 12.2, event sponsorship round 1, 21-22.
Thank you, CEO. So for those who are new to this forum, there's a 10-minute limit for deputations. Nobody's ever used the full 10 minutes, by the way, but there's a first time for everything. I will ask you to keep to that limit. So Ross Tapper, OAM, and David Smith, if you'd like to please step forward to make your deputations in relation to item 12.2. If you'd be so good, Ross, is it?
Ross,
if you'd be so good as to state your name and address, that'd be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Yeah, Ross Tapper, 15 Cates Avenue, Bald Ibis. Lord Mayor and councillors, thank you for allowing us to present the Make Smoking History Targa West, which is truly a unique event on the City of Perth's event calendar, and it's the first time for many years that we've been to the council meeting to do a deputation even. The event has been running for 17 years and has been run in the City of Perth in one form or another all the way through. We very much appreciate your support and the fact that we can run a major motorsport event based out of a capital city with a number of facets of the event being in the city. As a company, it's just myself and my wife with David Smith, who's with us this evening, and we contract a few others to assist with PR and social media when required. We also contract the team leaders to set up the City of Perth stage and the displays on Langley Park. From a single event 17 years ago, we survived through the highs and lows of the economy and still working with the COVID requirements, and during that time expanded our events to 11 from Albany to Pemberton to Bunbury and the Perth Motorplex and, of course, Targa West. Targa West is a national level tarmac rally held under the auspices of the Motorsport Australia, which was formerly Confederation of Australian Motorsport, and approved by local government's relevant authorities, including the police. Although the key component of rallying is the competition, Targa West has become far greater than that, with hundreds of competitors in their service crew, 500 officials and thousands of spectators over the 4 days. It is one of the biggest weekends of motorsport in WA. But what else it brings is the social capital of bringing people together, either within the competitor teams, officials, and just as importantly, bringing people out of their homes and come into the city and enjoy the spectacle, the colour, the sounds, and the vibrancy of motorsport action and static vehicle displays. Targa West is a four-day event that is based in the city of Perth, but also takes place in Whiteman Park, Wanneroo Raceway, the city of Swan, through Allenbrook, Bullsbrook, and Malaga, the city of Kalamunda on Mundaring Weir Road and the Zigzags, with the service in the middle of the shopping precinct, the Shire of Mundaring and Parkable, the Shire of 2J in four different areas, and the Shire of Chittering and the Lower Chittering. Not many events would have such a widespread area and be promoted as Perth and the surrounding areas. The best part of Targa West is that it is inclusive for people of all socio-economic backgrounds, with all the activities and displays being completely free for the spectating public to attend. In addition to the celebration of motorsport and the challenge classics on the Swan vehicle displays, including the City of Perth and Family Zone on Langley Park, are free for those showing off their cars, bikes and their carts. Within the City of Perth, we run on a pre-event promotion display of cars in Murray Street Mall on Thursday the 2nd of September. All our accommodation and rally headquarters is at the Hyatt Hotel for 5 days. The event start this year will be in Supreme Court Gardens on Thursday the 16th of September. It is normally in Forest Place, but another activity has a prior booking, and we'll be inviting the Lord Mayor or its representative to be the official starter. And Lord Mayor, you may remember you did that for us in your first week of...
official duty. Gee, I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Then we also have the Shannon Challenge Shine in Northbridge on the Friday evening, and there's a crowd favourite with our 60-plus competition cars on display from 6pm to 9pm for the public to get up close to them, while the crews, their support teams and officials take advantage of the cafes and restaurants within the area. On the Sunday, we turn to Langley Park and the Terrace Road car park into a massive display of cars in competition. The celebration of motorsport is a unique motorsport display on Langley Park, showcasing over 400 vehicles representing all forms of motorsport, including speedway, circuit racing, motorbikes and motocross, jet boats, go-karts, historic racing, off-road, Dakar, raid cars, drag cars, remote control cars, and even the soapbox for the kids. Then we have the Shannon's Classic on the Swan, which is another car display along the grass area between Riverside Drive and the Swan River for around 600 metres that joins the event into the Bell Tower and the Elizabeth Quay precincts, with approximately another 300 classic and contemporary vehicles on display, and around 40 different car clubs are involved in it. The City of Perth Zone on Langley Park has activities for all ages, including fun games and driving simulators. There'll be plenty of food vans and seating to make it even more enjoyable day on Langley Park. And competition-wise, we have the Engine Shop Targa City Sprint. It's a competition for those who haven't entered the four-day Targa West. It starts and finishes on Riverside Drive and goes through the Terrace Road car park, and it's limited to 60 cars. The event runs from 9am to 12:30pm. And when that's finished, the Targa City when the Targa City Sprint concludes, The Make Smoking History Targa West arrives from Malaga to compete on the stages. This is the finale to the four-day event, with competitors having one last chance to make up time to move up into the outright standings. At the end of Targa West competition, we have a champagne presentation to the winners of the different categories on Riverside Drive. Then on the end of the event is the finale to the event is the City of Perth Gala presentation dinner at the Hyatt Hotel on the Sunday evening. A representative from the City of Perth will be invited to present the trophies to the winning crews. So the activities that we have on Langley Park and Riverside Drive is 120 competition cars, with including 180 competitors, as rally cars have co-drivers. There'll be approximately 600 display vehicles on display, and which will bring with them about 800 participants, approximately 20 food vans and commercial displays, and over the whole day, approximately 10,000 spectators. All of this is promoted on 96FM and through an extensive social media and PR campaigns that last year generated activity, including news on GWN7, the Channel 7 News, the Channel 9 News, two articles on the Channel 10 News, including a live cross in the weather to the Northbridge Show and Shine, newspapers throughout the districts and in the Weekend West, various radio interviews, social media including 74,000 video views, 56,000 engagements and over 1 million impressions on Facebook and Instagram. Finally, we'd like to thank the City of Perth for the opportunity to bring motorsport right into the heart of Perth and enabling us to provide an event free for people of all ages and backgrounds to attend. We hope Targa West can continue to contribute to a well-rounded calendar of events that appeal to the broader section of the community. Thank you.
Thank you, Ross. Appreciate those comments. I might just ask you to stay there and invite any of the councillors. Any of our councillors have any questions for Mr. Tapper? Yes, Councillor Fleeton.
Thanks for the presentation. Love the event and happy to support it. I just have a question around the food trucks, and it's probably not your responsibility to do it, but I've got a big issue with events that come into the city and food trucks, which aren't established businesses or ratepayers of ours, come in and take the trade. I want to see more people in the city. Do you do any type of promotion with existing restaurants to see if somehow they can be a part of this?
Tell you the truth, no, we don't. Say it's on a Sunday and there isn't very much open along Riverside Drive, apart from, of course, the Bell Tower area, where, you know, that's why we run the Show and Shine, to try and get people to walk up that end and move into that area.
Yep.
I'm happy to work with the City of Perth marketing people if they can put us in line with that. It is a part of our requirements with our major sponsor, Healthway, that any sponsor you get with Healthway, you need to go through the WA School Canteens Association to have all the food trucks ticked off. And all the food vans need to be on the list of approved vans by the City of Perth, and they apply independent to us to have approval to operate on Langley Park.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other councillors have any questions for Mr. Tapper? Mr. Tapper, how many people did you say you estimate the event brings to the city?
In the vicinity of 10,000 people over the time of the event.
Okay. Any further questions? Mr. Tapper, thanks very much for being here. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for your presentation. I'm now going to invite Ma Knox and or Mace Harris to step forward to make your deputation. This is also in relation to item 12.2. And again, could I ask you please to state your name and address? Thank you.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Mara Knox from the Perth International Jazz Festival, 78B McCourt Street in West Leaderville. Deputy Lord Mayor, Lord Mayor, and esteemed councillors, I just wanted to take this opportunity to bring to your attention the Perth International Jazz Festival. Before I do that, can I acknowledge that we are a Modjak Noongar country? I wanted to pay my respects to elders past, present, and emerging. I'm a First Nations woman myself from the Musqueam Nation in Canada. It's very important to me personally to make sure that I honour the traditional custodians of this land. So with that said, I also wear a hat as the chair of the Perth International Jazz Festival, and you've probably seen us cross your paths each year as we host our fabulous festival in November, first weekend in November. So put the 5th to the 7th in your calendars. It's going to be great this year, bigger and better than ever. In the past, you've supported us to approximately over $100,000 over a number of years. Last year, $28,000. This year, we've asked for $60,000 plus close to $10,000 of in-kind contribution. Now, I know that the staff have gone through a very rigorous process, and we were very gratified to see that we scored very highly indeed on the overall assessment of in excess of 82% on the criteria that they assessed us on. What I wanted to do is just bring to your attention a little bit about some of the highlights for this year and maybe some of the reasons that might be rising in your mind as to why we've had such an increase in requested costs. Now, traditionally, we are entering into our ninth year of the festival in Perth, and Dr. Graham Wood, who was the original artistic director, started off the festival and had it going through for a number of years. Our artistic director, Dr. Mae Francis, has been running the festival for the last 4 years, and I've been chair for the last three. What we wanted to do this year, which has been a little bit different than last year and previous years, is to bring it back into the city. So what we've heard from feedback is that we want to keep the City of Perth community engaged and make sure that there's an opportunity for community and family-friendly events in public spaces in the city to make sure that we're promoting safety and we're doing the right thing by the citizens of Perth. So to that end, there's a number of new facilities that we're seeking to engage with, including Forest Place as our education and community stage. And we hope to kick things off on the Friday night at Cathedral Square by offering some of the workers in the city, a gin and jazz opportunity, and just have that kind of space opened up. The beautiful State Treasury Building area is located right there. So we wanted to use that. Now, we also plan on having a New Orleans-style jazz parade, which will take us through the pedestrian malls of Hay and Murray Street. And we think that's going to be a great way for us to actually involve the local retailers and the local food and beverage providers throughout the festival weekend in the city as well as in Northbridge. Our festival hub is going to be at the Rechabite, where our main ticketed events will happen, but we're also having free and ticketed events at the Northbridge Piazza, where we'll utilize that space, as well as having our free opening night operations at the State Theatre Centre Courtyard. So we'll be doing that in conjunction with RTRFM, and it's always a great night. This year is particularly special because we're having Dr. Richard Wally, who you would all be well aware of. He's performing something called The Six Seasons, which is engaging in the Noongar Six Seasons, along with the Junkadelic Brass Band. So it is going to be a fantastic opportunity, and what we're going to try and do is get that live streamed across the various screens in the city, as well as the circular Logan Square screen. So to that end, that's just a bit of a highlight of what's involved. We've got Tin Man and the Telephone Plan, which is going to be our international component, which is also going to be a live-streamed event from Europe. And it's going to be something where people can download an app on their phone and then actually engage with the artists live. If you shake your phone, things happen. You can lay down a beat and they can start building up their music around it. So it's going to be a very engaging, exciting, completely free community experience. Everyone, all of this costs money, and part of why I'm here tonight is to implore you to go above and beyond what has been requested or recommended by the assessment process, which recommends $40,000. I do say that our budgeting process has been very rigorous, and we have requested a full $60,000 from the City of Perth, and I do implore you to consider that in your deliberations for this fabulous jazz festival. Finally, we requested in-kind contribution of over $9,000, and that was for the higher fees of the Northbridge Piazza and the Forest Place area. The reason it is so much higher than previous years, and perhaps why it was rejected out of hand, was that we had also requested in-kind contributions so that we can banner the city for a full 4 weeks in the lead-up to the festival. So our festival launch is going to be happening on the 23rd of September at the Rechabite, and what we wanted to do was, through the month of October leading into the first weekend of November when our festival is to have banners throughout Forest Place, the two pedestrian malls in the city, as well as at Northbridge Piazza. And that's why those costs are so much more than has been in the past. I checked with our treasurer this morning because I was quite shocked that we weren't getting any recommendation for in-kind support, and she assured me that the reason that there might be any discrepancy would be that we used the full corporate rate for the two rentals of Forest Place and Northbridge. We took a very legalese approach to that because it says community groups may be allowed the 50% discount, and we thought, well, may means they may not. So we did take that at the full price, but to my knowledge, the banner hire, which is a very substantive request, there is no discount to community groups, or at least none that we could see on the website. With that, I would happy to take questions. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much for your presentation, Ma. I appreciate that very much. Do any of our councillors have any questions for Ma? Deputy Lord Mayor.
Just one question. So in the estimated attendances that we've been provided with, it says 5,000 people. Is that based on last year? Is this the projection for this year based on the increased presence in the city, and have you factored into that, factoring in passing by traffic in Haymo, street malls, et cetera?
Deputy Lord Mayor, thanks for the question. It's a good one. It's a combination of both. So some of what we're proposing is difficult to assess because some of it's new. So things like Tin Man and the telephone live stream, we've taken quite a conservative approach to, but I mean, the reality is that if this community gets behind us, that could literally be an event for tens of thousands of people in those public areas. So we've taken a very conservative approach for those attendance numbers. We've used our past attendance as some guide. But because Forest Place is a much larger space for us and far more high profile, we're hoping that the numbers will actually be much larger than what we've projected. But as in our budgeting, as in our estimates for attendance, we're very conservative.
Thank you. Any other questions? So all of the events are now within the City of Perth?
All of the events I've spoken to you today about are in the City of Perth. We also have an event in the City of Vincent at the Hyde Park. We have a picnic in the park on a Sunday, and we also, which is not included in the budget figures that you see there. Mm-hmm. And we're also expanding the following weekend to the City of Busselton to give a completely free one-day event working with them.
Okay. And last time you held the event, was it similar? Was it events within the City of Perth and some outside of the City of Perth?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. All right. Are there any further questions from anyone? Councillor Bevan.
I'd just like to ask, how many international performers do you expect to have?
Good question. In the COVID times, it's very difficult for us. So part of the reason for our pursuit of Tin Man and the telephone is because that can go ahead regardless of what happens, assuming that we're not in lockdown. We're very fortunate in Australia that there's been a lot of COVID refugees who have come to Australia to spend some time here. And there are some high-profile acts that I don't wish to name just yet that are within Australia, and we will try to get them interstate as long as that is feasible from a COVID management point of view. So in answer to your question, possibly as many as 8, but it's still, I guess, subject to what's going to be happening with our current state of emergency, etc.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Any further questions from any councillors? Ma, thank you very much for your presentation. Appreciate you being here tonight.
Thank you, Lord Mayor.
All the best. That being the case, and thank you, councillors, for holding any questions for the admin until we reach those particular items. So we'll move to item number 6, unless there are any further deputations. I don't believe there are. Item number 6, disclosures of interest. CEO, have any disclosures been received?
Yes, Lord Mayor, the interest disclosed will be available in full in the meeting minutes. In summary, those received are an impartiality interest from Councillor Gordon in relation to item 12.2, a direct financial interest from the Lord Mayor in relation to item 12.2, an indirect financial interest from the Deputy Lord Mayor in relation to item 12.2, a direct financial interest from Councillor Bevan in relation to item 12.2, and pending confirmation, impartiality interest from Councillor Bain in relation to item 12.2 and item 12.3.
Thank you, CEO. Now, we have received, I believe, some disclosures from the floor.
Will I read those out, or do we? Are they just summarised?
Yeah, or yours? Yeah, please do.
Councillor Gobert has disclosed an interest in relation to 12.2 event sponsorship, and a friend is associated with the management of the event. Councillor Gobert, under 12.2 event sponsorship, as a member of Pride WA, and
point of order, CEO, can you just read out what kind of interest, please?
It was direct financial interest, sorry, and the previous one was impartiality interest. And Councillor Gobert, under event sponsorship round 1, 21-22, so item 12.2, impartiality interest in that he attended a Chinese New Year festival supported by the city.
Yes, Deputy Lord Mayor.
I just had an extra disclosure interest as well, so in relation to 12.2 event sponsorship. Also, I had impartiality interest in relation to the sponsorship applications for the Perth International Jazz Festival and Chung Hwa, as I've also attended events and met with these organisations.
Okay. Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. Yes, Councillor Bain.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Can I just confirm, CEO, that you have item 12.2, the AFL Masters and the Australian Masters Games as impartiality?
So is this number 5 on the list that the CEO just read out? Because we did have pending confirmation and we were going to get confirmation one way or the other, is that correct?
Are you pending confirmation on the draft planning strategy?
I'm pending confirmation from you if you...
That's a separate issue, so we're just confirming the nature of your interest in relation to 12.2.
Okay.
For those two organisations.
And so what do I do about the separate issue, which is the draft planning strategy interest?
We can discuss that offline. That's not in relation. That's in relation to the special council meeting that's coming up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So do we have confirmation that we needed on that
12.2
one there?
12.2 and 12.3.
Councillor Bain, are those impartiality interests that you're declaring?
The Masters and AFL Masters, yeah.
Yep, okay.
If that's the if that's the view.
Yes.
That's the view? That's the view. Thank you, Councillor Bain. Yes, CEO? No, please.
No.
I don't want to regret it later. Okay, thanks, Councillor Bain. Thanks. Are you sure you...
No, I'm just... if I may, through the governance, I'm just questioning the impartiality interest, if that is actually... something that elected members need to disclose if they've attended an event, because when I read the explanation as to what an impartiality interest is, it doesn't seem to fall to attendance, especially if you have a you're representing the city. So maybe we could take that offline.
Yes, Deputy Lord Mayor.
I noted that I met with the organisation subsequently, so just to clear up any perceived conflicts of interest, I'd rather have that on the record.
Yes, so meeting separately, I understand, but just attending an event, I'm asking the question.
The event was registered by elected members as a gift under the gift register. Has it had a catering component? So I believe impartiality is appropriate.
Thank you, Councillor Gordon. Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. Governance, was there anything?
No, it's fine.
Well, happy. Terrific news.
Sorry, Lord Mayor.
no apology necessary. Thanks, everyone. So items 7 to 10 will be dealt with at the ordinary council meeting next week. So let's move to reports. As we move through the reports, I'll ask if any councillors have any questions in relation to the item. The first of those is 11.1, renaming of western portion of Riverside Drive. No interests have been disclosed prior to the meeting. Do any councillors have any questions on this item? Councillor Leeser.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Through the Chair, my question is, why aren't we renaming the whole of Riverside Drive? Why are we only renaming a portion of it? Because that's just, you know, in my mind, just going to cause confusion when you tell people, go to Riverside Drive or go to this new name, you know. Do we know that information?
Yes, well, through the CEO to the GM.
Yes, please. GM Planning and Economic Development.
Thank you. Through the Lord Mayor, the reason why we're not, or the main roads not renaming the full portion is because it's actually split by Elizabeth Quay. So it's now primarily become two roads. So east of Elizabeth Quay will be Riverside Drive, and west of Elizabeth Quay will be Hurry-Up Drive.
Yes, Councillor Gordon.
Do we have any indication as to why they're not renaming the pretty side and only why they've chosen the western portion and not the eastern portion?
Again, Chair.
Thank you. No, we're not privy to that information.
Any further questions? So my information... You're going, Councillor Gold.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. I'm just wondering, are we going to start seeing applications for James Street, East and West, Hay Street, East and West, Murray Street?
All very good questions. And so my understanding is that the naming of roads belongs to main roads and ultimately to the transport minister?
It actually goes through Landgate, Lord Mayor. So there is a whole division that deals with, used to be called the Nomenclature Committee. Mm. So I think G geographic names deals with all of them. On roads like this, it's main roads. Some of them we put forward suggestions of road names. On local roads, we haven't been provided with any kind of schedule of roads that they're considering renaming at this stage.
Yes. So I would ask the question, I'm not sure who's going to give me the answer, but I would ask the question, why are they asking us if it is their responsibility? And I think that's a fair question. Who might answer that for me, CEO?
The General Manager, Lord Mayor.
General Manager, come on in.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. We're being asked because we're a stakeholder and it's within the boundaries of the local government area of the City of Perth.
Okay, but we don't decide what roads are named. So they're asking us because they think we're nice people.
Well, you're actually a very important stakeholder within the area.
Okay.
So they're looking for our support.
Thanks, Sheehan. Councillor Fleeton?
Is there a single ratepayer, resident, business or any address on this drive, or is it just the slip road to go on to Mounts Bay Road?
Yeah, I believe it's the latter. GM?
That's correct. There's no addresses on this road.
So, you know, it gets confused.
Yeah.
No, I've never known there to be any confusion around... Yes, sure.
Lord Mayor, it's in case that there is a traffic accident on the road so that emergency services are directed to the right portion of the road so they're not going up and down Riverside Drive trying to find it.
It seems to me surprising that they haven't asked us to rename Hay Street then, given that is the world's most confusing street. But because that is confusion. Hay Street East, Hay Street West, numbers that start again, stop and then start again. Have they asked us out of interest about Hay Street?
Maybe if I could suggest, no, Lord Mayor, not at this stage.
Thank you for your answer.
However, if maybe we could ask Main Roads what their approach to naming protocols are, because as you say, what we're trying to create is an accessible city. Part of that is, as you say, if we're changing the protocol with North and East Roads, maybe that's important for us to be aware of. So could we put that as a request for us to follow up on that with the Main Roads Department, Lord Mayor?
Yeah, certainly. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Are there any further questions from any councillors? Thank you, GM. Much appreciated. We'll move to item 12. Community Development Alliance reports. 12.1 is the Yakka Danju Ngala Biddy, Working Together Our Way. No interests have been disclosed here. Any councillors have any questions on this item? Thanks, Councillor Gordon, sorry.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I've raised a question about whether it's appropriate to be referring to this as an agreement based on the content and the parties there too. Are we able to seek some advice on them?
Sia?
Yes, we can. We've taken some advice in relation to some previous terminology that was amended, and so the elders and others felt comfortable with agreement. But if you'd like us to take some legal advice as to the implications, is that what you're asking?
Yeah, I think equally but we can't refer to it as a treaty. I think legally it doesn't meet the definition of an agreement, mm-hmm. and to do so is a bit confusing.
Thank you. We'll take that on notice.
Thanks, Councillor Gordon. Any further questions from any councillors? Thank you. All right, we'll move to item 12.2. I'm just going to work with governance here. I think the suggestion is that we might split these up. Is that correct? Firstly, good point. So 12.2, so do we have any questions? Yeah, we have some questions with notice. That's correct. Any questions without notice?
Sorry, Lama, can I just double-check for governance purposes? Is it appropriate to stay in the room for the entirety of the debate?
And that's a question that I think we're all thinking, given that there are certain bits that relate to certain people.
No, so the suggestion was that perhaps because there's so many disclosures of direct financial interest that we could split the item up. Mm-hmm. So we're just seeing if there are any questions before doing that.
Any questions?
Okay, sir. Go on, governance.
Through you, Lord Mayor, perhaps it might be a better option if each item was split now so that people that have an interest on that specific application can leave as questions are asked on that item.
Sure. Okay. So how many do that?
You want to start with A?
Okay, so we'll start with A, which is Unisport Australia Limited for the Australian Masters Games for 1 year. So just A.
So
you only need to split out the items for which someone's declared a financial interest. And then
okay, so we're okay there.
So financial.
Yeah.
No. Direct financial. Impartiality. That's the one, they want the impartiality.
So then, can I ask you this one? Okay. Okay.
So, Councillor Gobbett, I believe you have a direct financial interest for B, yes. Pride. And so, but are there any questions?
Any questions?
Any questions for Pride, Councillor Gordon, Councillor Bain? Nope. Okay. So, Perth International Jazz Festival, anyone have any questions there? Okay. AFL Masters, anyone have any questions there? Chung Hwa Association, any questions? The West Australian Yachting Foundation, any questions? Targa West, Marty and Co for Sensation Gallery. Seven Network Operations Limited for a Linta Energy Christmas pageant. Anyone got any questions there or plan to ask any questions? I'll disappear if that's the case. And then A and B, the Institute of Architects, WH, up there. Anyone questions? And finally, Star Special Events Australia for Summer in the City concert for 1 year. Any questions? Right. So nobody has any questions about any of those items. Have I got that right? Right. Everyone's happy? Yeah? Okay. Right, well, that was good fun. 12.3, Economic Development Sponsorship for WAITOC Association Incorporated, Aboriginal Tourism Academy, Perth 2021. Do any councillors have any questions on this item? Mm-hmm. Okay, sure. Item 14, Corporate Service Alliance Reports, Monthly Financial Report for April 2021 is item 14.1. Any questions here? Councillor Fleeton, you're happy with what you had there? Yeah, thank you. 14.2, Schedule of Accounts Paid, April 2021. Any questions on this item? Item 14.3, WACA rates concession. Do any councillors have any questions on this item? Thanks, gentlemen. Much appreciated. Yes, Councillor Gordon.
Sorry. I just wanted to clarify the response to mine makes sense. I just want to understand there is no policy or precedent here. It is just the WACA asking us to give them a rights concession.
Yes, let's see.
If I could invite the Project Director, Strategic Finance, to answer, thank you.
Thank you very much, through the Chair. No, there is not a specific policy that's relevant here. We do have a rating exemption policy, but that relates to a slightly different circumstance. This one, because it is a discretionary concession, there is no policy implication, and the WACA is the only current recipient of a concession of this nature.
Mm. Thank you, Project Director. Thanks, Councillor Gordon. You happy with that? Any further questions? Item 15, Chief Executive Officer reports the long-term financial plan 21-22 to 30-31. Any councillors have any questions on this item? Councillor Fleeton.
Thanks. It was in, or mixed up in my 14-1. So interested to see, I'm hearing different reports from stakeholders around Trafalgar Bridge, how much it's going to actually cost to fix the underlying problem and then build in amounts to keep it up to scratch. I'm not going to go into details on treated wood and the like, but it sounds like it's going to be a very expensive process and not able to be funded out of current maintenance. So can we put it into the long-term financial plan, you know, a standalone maintenance budget over the next 10 years to fix this thing?
Sia?
Thank you. Maybe before we direct to the Project Director of Strategic Finance, if I could invite the General Manager Infrastructure and Operations to give us a little bit of context about that, and that then pass to the Project Director. Thank you.
Thank you, through the Chair. The issue with the bridge, just to give a little bit of context here, is that the timber that was used to install on that bridge is green timber, which warps. And so the process that we're moving through at the moment is one of fixing the issues and oiling it and to replace those areas of timber that are in a poor state of repair. We believe ongoing maintenance will be covered under our operating budget. We do not see any need for a long-term plan to resolve the issue.
Thank you, General Manager.
Can I ask a question on that? Mm. So I think a couple of councillors went on that tour. And before that, I was told that the timber before whatever has been installed now was either treated or sealed, and the issues before with it was fine. For some reason, a decision was made before we were elected to replace it all with the current timber. And I've got people saying that they can no longer safely walk across it because of differing gaps, and we've all heard it. So I want to know, is the city confident that you can fix the issue with the current budget set up, or in the long-term financial plan, can we spend money on this bridge and get it right so people are actually able to use it?
Thanks, Councillor. CEO, back to the GM.
Thank you, through the Chair. We believe, on the advice that we've been given, that it is repairable and that we can, through ongoing maintenance. And I think that the issue there is that it's about ongoing maintenance. It's not a complete fatal flaw. As I said, the timber is green, and that's why it's been warping. That ceases as we progress with our oiling of the members. So we don't believe that we need to put anything into the long-term financial plan. If there is any concern, we can always get an independent review of that by an expert, but I don't suggest we need that.
Thanks, General Manager. Any further questions? Yes, sir, Councillor Bevan.
With regard to the bridges, there's a small bridge of the Claysbrook waterway coming down to the... that has problems as well, so that could be included with the timber rotting.
Thank you, through the Chair. The issues with that bridge are more around rusting of the steel elements, and we have a plan in place to redo that, and again, that will be done through our normal maintenance process. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks, Councillor. Thank you, Councillors. Well done. Item 15.2, establishing the three strategic pillars objective for future planning: livable, sustainable and prosperous. What a great way to live by. Any councillors have any questions on this item? Thanks, everyone. Item 15.3, review of delegations. Any Councillors have any questions on this item? Councillor Gordon, you had some?
Just a follow-up question on Delegation 9.2 pertaining to the advertising signs. Will that reference now be deleted based on the response provided?
9.2. CEO?
If I could direct to the General Manager Planning and Economic Development. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you. Through the Chair, yes, that reference will be deleted.
Thanks, Jim. Thank you, Councillor. Any further questions? Item 15.4, appointment of an elected member to the Mindari Regional Council. Any questions on this item, councillors? Thank you.
I have a question.
Yes, Councillor Bain, welcome.
Thank you, without notice. when Rebecca and I were initially appointed to this board, I went along to the introductory meeting and they told me that they have no provision on their board for deputy members. So even if Rebecca, God forbid, was sick and couldn't attend one of the meetings, then I would not be automatically approved to attend the meeting. So what's the point of having a deputy? I guess that's my question.
Good point. CEO, anywhere that can go?
Could we please take that on notice? Because I recall at the time it was an anomaly and we were asked for, I recall, a deputy. So we will actually follow up on that, although I
can clarify if you like.
Yes.
So while you can appoint a deputy, they are not able to vote at a meeting unless prior to the Emma, the regional council meeting, this council approve a resolution for them to step into the shoes of the member. So if you were sick, it doesn't help because you can't act quickly to appoint a deputy. You probably wouldn't call a special council meeting, but if I was to take leave, which I probably won't, then we could make a resolution and that person would be able to attend and vote.
Maybe through the Lord Mayor, if we could get some advice, if maybe there was an opportunity to have a council decision taken that in an unforeseen circumstance you did happen to be sick. So if we could preempt that absence. So maybe if I could take some advice.
Sure. So wouldn't this appear, this is my question now, CEO, wouldn't this appear a very antiquated way of doing things? And as Councillor Bain correctly pointed out, what is the point of us nominating a deputy if it's virtually impossible for that deputy to fill in for the presiding member on in the event that they're suddenly unable to attend?
Yes, just as Councillor Gordon mentioned, there is a choice not to. I can only suggest that the complexity of that particular committee, they might be reluctant. Maybe they would be concerned that people who didn't have some of the background, I have no idea. I'll just say that. I have no idea.
Did anybody have anything further about that? Yes. Okay. General Manager CEO Alliance. Is that it?
Anyway.
We can add further information. We'll seek some advice from the Mindari Regional Council as to what provisions we can add to the deputy. Yeah. I do think just for, I suppose regardless of the fact that we do have to pass a council resolution for the deputy to step in, I think having a clear deputy does help because it takes away from having to determine then who steps in and we just know that there's a person that is a backup. But I'll seek further information and add it into the report.
I'll note from the agenda for this Thursday meeting that some councils have nominated an alternate members. So obviously some are electing not to.
Yep.
There is a requirement that a council carries a specific resolution for each occasion that the alternate member is to act.
Each occasion.
Actually,
about
3 months.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to say what I think it is?
Yeah.
Okay. very good. Thanks, Councillor Gordon. Thank you, Alliance Manager. There was a lot of gags there, isn't there? But we're not in... That's not what we're here for.
I just got it.
Item 15... Item 16. Committee report. 16.1 is status update, June 2021 Council Policy Review Program. Council Leader, there was a question with notice. Are you okay with that? Any other questions on this item? Thank you. 16.2, Review of Policy 7.1, Electricity Supply, Undergrounding of Supply Cables. Any councillors with a question here? 16.3, Review of Policy 9.12, Asset Management. Any councillors with a question? 16.4, Review of Council Policy 6.2, Building Site Adjacent to Forest Place, Hay Street and Murray Street Malls, and 6.5, Hay Street Colonnading. Any questions? 16.5, Review of Council Policy 6.20, Comment and Recommendations on Development Proposals Referred to the City by Statutory Authorities. Any questions, councillors? Councillor Gobbett.
Thank you. I did ask a question during the Policy Committee on this as to whether or not we had an internal position developed, or if we were likely to get one in the works for when MRA of Development WA referred to the city. Has the city given any further consideration to how and when development applications for assets in the public realm might be referred up higher so that we can champion those?
Thanks, Councillor Gobbett. Sarah?
So if we could take that on notice, please.
Thank you. No further questions? 16.6, Review of Policy 11.3, Sister-City Relationships, and 3.5, Sending Delegations to External Bodies. Are there any questions on this item? No? Okay. 16.7. Review of Policies 1.10, Freedom of the City, 1.11, Freedom of Entry, 1.12, Keys to the City, and 1.13, Honorary Citizenship. Do any councillors have any questions in regards to this item? Oh. 17, motions of which notice has been given. Item 17, motions of which notice has been given, will be dealt with at the ordinary council meetings next week. Item 18, matters for which the meeting may be closed. There's one attachment, governance, one attachment and one report within the agenda which are considered confidential. If any elected members have questions on the confidential item or their attachments, we'll need to move behind closed doors. So, does anybody have any questions? Deputy Lord Mayor, you do? Okay, so we'll need to close the meeting, please. No? So we will now open the meeting to close it, right? Yeah. So item 19 of the meeting now open. Come on in, people. Item 19 is urgent business. This will be dealt with at the ordinary council meeting next week. So with that, item 20, no further business. I now declare the agenda briefing session closed at 6:02 p.m. Thanks, everyone. Well played.
Could we all rise and follow Councillor Baines? Stand, because the Lord Mayor's leaving the room.
All right, how exciting.
Elvis has left
the room. How long before we...